So, as I mentioned before the service, as we've been talking about for a couple weeks, this Sunday is our Stewardship Sunday. And we try to find a good balance between trying to make it clear that we kind of survive and exist and need the generous donations of our parishioners in order to kind of keep doing what we're doing. And in the bigger picture of things, for those that are, especially for those who are newer to the parish, we had some troubles about 5 years ago when there was a big split in this parish, and we've been rebuilding since then. And we have a wonderful parish today that I'm so thankful to be a part of. But the reality of that is we have a lot of like rebuilding financially to do. And so each year we try to hope that we kind of increase enough to kind of keep cutting away at the deficit kind of our budget each year. And so this is always a very anxious time for me. But in the midst of that, my encouragement, my hope is always that it's still presented as an invitation, right? Because that's everything we do here is by invitation, not obligation. And so we encourage you throughout the service. I hope you've had a chance to read the materials I sent home in the last couple weeks. Please pray about, think about what you feel called to give in this next year. And if you'll let us know on one of those cards, it would be really helpful just so we can plan for our budget for next year. That's about all I'm going to say about that. The temptation is, because the gospel is about money, that I should just talk a whole lot about money, and I sort of will, but that's not really, I don't think, what the story is about. To give people a little background, it says talents, right? He gave 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. Those were typically very weighty measures of gold that I realize it does not tell you, and so you would have no idea how to know that without someone telling you, probably. It probably amounted to about like two, each talent amounted to about 2.5 of those gold bars, you know, you see in the movies. Those weigh about 30 pounds. So it'd be about 2.5 of those, about 75 pounds of gold is what a talent was, we think. So it's a lot of money, okay? Especially the 5 talents, I can't even imagine. I didn't do the math, but it's a lot of money. And so we have the story where a master is going off and he gives his servants, his slaves, these incredible sums of money. It says based on their ability. And so each in turn goes out by their ability and invests, or the first two, I should say, by their ability go on and invest that money and come back with a return of double when the master returns. And the one slave who had the least, the one who, when comparing him or herself to the others, probably felt that they had the least skill at investing, right? The one who had the best talents for investing and making more money was given more. The one who was still pretty good at it, but maybe not as acclaimed, was given 2 talents. And then this last one was given 1. I think it's easy to look at it, and in my experience, the traditional teaching of this was always, well, God gives you certain gifts, you need to use those gifts according to your ability, and God will bless you in the end. And that's true, but I think we need to address this weeping and gnashing of teeth part. Because I think this passage more than, or as much, I should say, as a call for us to live and work in our gifts and our talents that God has given us, to invest in the things that God has placed in our hearts, I think this is also very much a passage about fear. If you look at the responses of the master to the first 2 slaves when he returns, they're identical, right? He says, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." It didn't matter how much they made. They both doubled it. They both about did the same amount, you know, of return. The reality was is that they worked. They were faithful. They did what their master asked of them, using their talents and their skills to invest the money that they might receive a return for their master. The issue with the third isn't that he didn't make any money. The issue with the third is that he was so afraid of losing that money. He was so afraid of what the master might do in that advent that he buried it in the ground, knowing that at least he'll have this much when he returns. I don't get the impression that the master would have been, I mean, I'm sure the master would have been super happy if he lost like 75 pounds worth of gold. But the way and the tenor of the story and of the parable, I don't get the impression that what the master is super concerned about is the money, is how much is made or how much is lost. He says he gave it to them as according to their talent, according to their ability, right? The master knew what they were capable of. The master certainly knew what the risks are of investing and the fact that it's just as it's possible to lose as well as to gain. All of those pieces, I'm sure, were in there and were understood and were implied in the telling of the story. The issue was in the fear of the third slave not to act at all. And I think that is at the core, at the heart of the message for us today. Because whether it's money or whether it's our skill, whether it's the gifts we've been given one way or another, our call in this world is to live into those gifts and share them with the world, to invest them. The return is in the things of God, the gifts of God, right? Charity, love, hope, patience, peace, self-control, mercy, joy. That is the currency of the kingdom of God. That is what we buy and sell and trade in as the people of the church. And each and every one of you have been given of those gifts. Each and every one of us has our place in life. We have whatever measure of success or of acclaim, whatever measure of joy and happiness, whatever measure of suffering and difficulty, it's unique to each of us. One of the greatest dangers of our society, of our lives, is how quickly we are to measure ourselves and compare ourselves to one another. How easy would it have been for the one slave who had received two talents to have just doubled the money, merely doubled the money, right, to four talents, but looked at his colleague and said, but he made five and I only made two. How much better is he? And if you look at the master's response, he says the exact same thing to both of them. Well done. You have been faithful with a few things, right? A few things, only a few million dollars, a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Similarly, on the other side of that, some of the times when we like to compare ourselves, it's easy for us to look at someone we perceive as doing worse than us and to feel better about ourselves about it, right? To look at the slave who buried his in the ground and say, oh man, he's going to get it when the master returns. I'm not like that guy. I mean, if your life is anything like mine, I have lived in both of those places. I look at people that seem to be doing better, seem to be smarter, faster, quicker, more successful. And it's very easy to be discouraged by that. In that discouragement, it's easy to look around and see people that aren't doing as well and say, man, at least I'm not that person. And I have not found that to benefit the kingdom of God really in any way. You've heard me say it before, I'll say it again today. God has created you to be you. None of us are there yet. We're still every day living more and more into who God has created us to be. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Day after day, the love and the mercy and the grace of God speaks and works in our hearts. As we are able to come before the Lord with humility, with an awareness of our need for forgiveness, our need for love, our need for acceptance, our need for joy. As we come before the Lord and say, you know, as much as I try to create these things in my life, I usually come up short. I pray by your grace that you would have mercy on me. And God's response in those moments is, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a little. I will put you in charge of much. The thing is, that's going to be different for all of us. Your gifts are different than mine. Your gifts are different from one another. Sometimes we act and live in our gifts without even realizing exactly what they are. My hope and my encouragement today, and really always, is that you would let yourself, day by day, become more and more comfortable with what those gifts are. And to resist the temptation to compare your gifts to someone else's gifts. If only I could do that, that would be great. I mean, I like what I can do, but that's really what I wish I was doing. It's so easy to do. It's so tempting. I mean, I still do it. I mean, I stand before you as someone who is living in the midst of this as well, by all means. The thing is, the more I am focused outward on what other people are better or worse than me at, as opposed to focusing on the relationship that God is developing with me and helping me to see and understand what I was created for, what my gifts are for this world, I'm distracted. We're distracted from the good things that we are called to share, from the good things we are called to invest in this world. I promise you the world doesn't need another Chris. One is plenty. The world doesn't need another Nelson Mandela or Mother Teresa, another Martin Luther King Jr. Those people did incredible things, and we will be eternally grateful for the work that they have done. But don't for a second think that the work that God is doing in you is any less significant, or would somehow be more significant if it was more like that. Wherever God has placed you, God has you there for a reason and is working in the midst of it. God is using you amidst your family and friends, your workplace, your society and community within this very church. God is at work in you. I pray that you would listen deeply through worship, through prayer, through meditation, through whatever spiritual disciplines you find helpful, that you find fruitful, to start learning to hear that voice of God speaking to you, that still small voice that says, I love you. I am overjoyed with you and with who you are. And I'm so excited for who you get to be in this world. And as we live into that. That is what has the power to change not only our own lives, but the lives around us. I said this once before, and I was really nervous about it because it seemed so scandalous by what I had like been raised with. But just as the world, I feel much better about it now. You can still disagree with me, but I feel much better about it. Just in the way, the world doesn't need another Mother Teresa or Gandhi or Martin Luther King Jr. or whomever. The world also doesn't need another Jesus. I spent a lot of my life kind of thinking that I would be better if I looked more like Jesus. And that's not wrong in the sense that being more loving, being more kind, being more compassionate. But my job isn't to die for the sins of the world, right? It's not to be, that's not what I'm here to do. I think so often I focus and have the temptation to focus on being more like Jesus or being more like whomever, that I get down on who I am. And you know what? Whatever you're struggling with, whatever you feel like you just can't shake, whatever that part of you that you think, man, if I could just get over this, it would be so much better. I promise you, if it was time to get over it, if it was time to set it aside, if it was time to move past it, you would have done it. There is something to learn there. There is something that you are experiencing there that is important for who you are and for who you will be. Please do not beat yourself up for not being something else. Be sober and aware of the ways in which you fall short. Repent of those things. Ask God's forgiveness and know that that forgiveness is immediately offered and has been offered from before we utter the words. God's work is in the midst of you. God's forgiveness is full and complete. And wherever you are, I invite you to live in that with me and with one another. Amen.